ॐ ध्यायामोदकलापकुण्डनवतीं तेजोमयीं नैष्ठिकीं स्निग्धापाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरं सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीं मधुसिक्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकाम् ईश्वरीम्. Shankara spoke about samadhi as nirvikarataya vrittya brahmakarataya punaha vritti vismaranam samyak samadhihi jnana samyakah. So he spoke about samadhi. So in brief, Vedanta speaks about, or Vedantins, followers of Vedanta speak about two samadhis in general. So one is savikalpa samadhi and the other is nirvikalpa samadhi. So savikalpam, savikalpa samadhi means savikalpam, with vikalpam, with a particular thought. You are merging into an object, whether it is an external object, whether it is a gross object or a subtle mental level object, it doesn't matter. So you merge into a particular object. So in savikalpa samadhi, you contemplate on the form of Shiva or Krishna or Devi, and you merge into that particular form. That is called savikalpa samadhi. You have only that thought in your mind. There is only one thought, Devi alone exists. But what happens there is, though you are merging into Devi, yet there is a distinction or differentiation between you and Devi. So there is a difference between the object or that which you are concentrating on, the object of samadhi, which is Devi or Krishna or Shiva, and yourself. So that means, like, it's not complete annihilation, it's not dvaita completely vanishing or advaitam. But the other samadhi that Vedanta speaks about is nirvikalpa samadhi, that samadhi wherein you are without any vikalpam, without any thoughts. So you completely merge into the self. So it is a state where you are the self, you are one with Brahman, in a way Brahman, without any thought. So it's a state like sleep, it's a state like when you become unconscious. So it's like an unconscious state, that's a vikalpa. There is also another definition of it, another definition of nirvikalpam and savikalpam. We can say that another way of seeing, or another perspective, savikalpam is when you concentrate on a particular form and you know that you are different from the form. So the difference is there, you are aware of the difference. Whereas in nirvikalpam, you merge into that form, which means there is basically no difference between you and the object. That means you become Krishna. Krishna alone exists, that is nirvikalpam. That is a more apt definition of savikalpam and nirvikalpam. But the problem is, in nirvikalpam, when you merge into Krishna, the problem is that you are not Krishna. So the moment you merge into something that you are not, then you'll have to come back again. So that is the reason why we daily sleep. Though we sleep, we still get up. Why do we get up? We can just go on sleeping, because we cannot go on sleeping, because sleep is not our natural state. So there needs to be, you need to come out of it. Moreover, in sleep you also have dream, wherein you go into its different self than that you are in waking. Therefore you have to get up again. So that means, like, the moment you go into nirvikalpam, you cannot be in an unconscious state always, because that's not your natural state, so you'll have to come back. And at the vyavaharika, or in the vyavaharika level, the natural state is your jagrat avastha, the state that we are in now. And nirvikalpam takes you above jagrat in a sushupti avastha, in a similar avastha similar to sushupti, which is not permanent with respect to vyavaharika talam itself. With respect to the vyavaharika, or with reference to vyavaharika level itself, it's not permanent. So we don't even need to go beyond vyavaharikam. So that means you will have to come back. That's the reason why nirvikalpa samadhi is not considered by Vedantins or in Vedanta as the ultimate samadhi, because it is also temporary. You'll have to come back. So the samadhi that Vedanta really speaks about is called Sahaja Samadhi. So in order to do Sahaja Samadhi, you can follow Savikalpam and Nirvikalpa Samadhi. But in Savikalpam and Nirvikalpam, the object that you are concentrating on should be Nirguna Parabrahman, should be that Brahman who pervades the entire world, should be that Brahman who is the substratum of the world, should be that Brahman who is beyond the names and forms of the world. So Savikalpa Samadhi with Nirguna Parabrahman would be when you have your eyes open, you have thoughts in your mind, you may be closing your eyes or you may be having your eyes open, but you see everything as Brahman. You see Brahman, the form of Brahman everywhere, that is Savikalpam. And it becomes Nirvikalpam when you temporarily merge into Brahman. So it's not permanent merging, because when you permanently merge into Brahman, then that is your natural state. You don't need to come out of it or go into it. But somehow you close your eyes and merge into Brahman temporarily. Temporarily you remove Dvaitam, you merge into a state of the self. So that is Nirvikalpa Samadhi. That's not permanent because Ajnanam hasn't vanished. So when you go into Nirvikalpa Samadhi, it's not permanent because Ajnanam is still there. You go from a state of Ajnanam into Nirvikalpa Samadhi, therefore you have to come back. It's like telling, I am in a waking state. If I sleep, I have to get up again because I have ignorance now. Unless I get rid of ignorance, if I go into sleep, I'll have to come back again. So if a person with ignorance does Nirvikalpa Samadhi, then he will have to come back again to the state of ignorance. But when a person does Nirvikalpa Samadhi and Savikalpa Samadhi or any like type of Samadhi, always contemplating on Brahman, always having the thought of Brahman is Samadhi. That's the Samadhi Shat Sankara spoke about. When a person does that, it becomes Sahajam. That is called Sahajam, means natural. Or trying to make the Samadhi natural, trying to make the thought of Brahman natural is Sahaja Samadhi. So you don't need to have the natural absorption to follow Sahaja Samadhi, but when you are trying to do Sahaja Samadhi, that is, can also be called as Sahaja Samadhi. And that is the Samadhi that a Vedantin or a Vedantic seeker should be seeking. And that is what Shankara spoke about in the previous shloka, in the 124th shloka, that the Samadhi, when we first remove thoughts and then bring the thought of Brahman. So Brahman alone pervades our mind. Brahman alone pervades our mind means Brahman alone is in our mind. Though we may be seeing objects of the world, they are converted into Brahman in our mind. So our mind perceives nothing but Brahman alone. So it's like telling, whatever I see, nothing at all. What do I see? I see everything as Brahman. I see everything as Krishna, or whichever it can be a form, but it's better to have Nirguna Parabrahman, because a form, the moment you contemplate on a form, you get attached to the form. The form is as illusory, so as any other thing in the world. If you don't know, if you are not aware of the reality that the form is unreal, you'll get deluded into the form. And if you know that the form is unreal, then why contemplate on the illusory form itself? You can directly contemplate into Nirguna Brahman. And the way to do contemplate on Nirguna Brahman is considering that Brahman alone is present here. Everything is Brahman, everything is blissful Brahman, and I am that Brahman. It's not very tough. Though Krishna says in the Bhakti Yoga, he says that contemplation on Akshara Brahman is tough, therefore form is given. But still, it's not that tough. If we try, we can do it very easily. So if we can do it very easily, and if we know that the form is an illusion, then why go behind any form? We don't need to go behind any form. So we'll go behind form after gaining concentration, remove the form, and then go to Nirguna Brahman. So it's like touching your nose. By instead of directly touching your nose with your hand, go behind, put the hand behind your head and touch your nose. So it's like doing that. If we are able to do it, we can do it. Therefore, you should directly contemplate on Brahman. So that is a samadhi that Shankara spoke about. So that is a samadhi that a person has to follow. That is Sahaja Samadhi. And when it becomes completely natural, it becomes Sahajam. You completely follow it. You follow it at all times. Such a person is called a Jivan Mukta. So in order for a person to completely follow it, or in order for a person to become a Jivan Mukta or live in that Sahaja Samadhi, Shankara says we don't need any other sadhana. A person just needs to follow this at all times. So if he just goes on following it, then it will automatically lead to the state of Sahajam. It will automatically lead to the state of Jivan Mukti. We don't need any other particular action. So in order to realize the self, in order to gain Aparokshanubhavam, a person has to always do this. A person has to do this Samadhi at all times. That is what Shankara says in the 125th Shloka. Imam cha kritrimanandam tavat sadhu samabhyaset vashyo yavat kshanat pumsah prayuktas sanbhavet swayam. So imam cha akritrim anandam. So imam cha akritrim. So a person has to always do this anandam until a person gains anandam, until anandam arises, until Jivan Mukti arises, which means not temporary bliss, not trance state, but complete anandam. Complete anandam means you know that, okay, I don't need anything else. I am perfect. I don't want anything else now. Though I may seek things of the world, I may seek worldly pleasures, I may seek a car, I may get a car, I may buy a house, yet I know that I am perfect. I don't need anything. Take away everything from me, I'll still be blissful. That anandam, until a person gets that tavat, till that time, sadhu, a seeker, samabhyaset, he has to follow correctly in order to vashyaha, in order to always have it. Or vashyaha can be meant to say that, okay, it should be under his control. So he should control the samadhi or try to do the samadhi at all times. Yavat anandam. So until a person gains anandam. So yavat kshanat pumsah anandam. So yavat, till the time a person doesn't gain anandam, tavat sadhu samabhyaset, he should practice. And when anandam happens, like, will something else happen along with it? When anandam happens, we can say, yeah, tavat vashyaha can be related to tavat, or at that time he will be totally under control. And kshanat pumsaha, that person, kshanat, in a moment, prayuktaha san bhavet, he becomes like eligible. He, all activities, or he becomes active in the right sense. He does everything. He does things very easily. He is able to. So prayuktaha san is translated in the sight as being able to do action. But it means that in a moment he can merge into anything and everything. So he becomes like water. Put it into a half liter bottle, it takes the shape of the bottle. Put it into a glass, it takes the shape of the glass. Put it into a vessel, it takes the shape of the vessel. So the sadhu, When a sadhu gains anandam, when a sadhu becomes, follows it regularly, he goes into the state of sahajam, he becomes a jivan mukta. That means worldly actions he will be able to do at any point of time. He will be entering into actions, he will be still be have anandam. He will have anandam at all times, he will have things under his control, yet in a moment he will be able to do action. So in a moment he will be able to do action. In a moment he'll still be go into the state of inaction. That's what Krishna calls as karmanya karma yapashyet akarmani cha karmayah. Person who sees action in inaction and inaction in action. So a person who knows that in action there is inaction. What is inaction? Inaction. Inaction, how can inaction be there? How can both go together? Karmani akarmah. How can you see in karma akarma, and in akarma how can you see karma? Both are contradictory. So what Krishna means there is, in karma a person sees Brahman. Brahman is akarma, Brahman is akarta, it is a sakshi, it doesn't do any action. So when a person sees in karma Brahman, Whenever he's doing action, he knows that there is a substratum of Brahman. It is in Brahman that this illusion of karma happens. And akarmani cha karmayaha. And in Brahman, all actions are seen. That means, he sees the world, he knows that the world is in Brahman, is an inactive Brahman. And when he sees Brahman, or he knows that it is really in Brahman, in inactive Brahman, that all these actions are happening. So, karmani akarmaha. In karma, he sees inaction. In karma, in the world, he sees Brahman. And in Brahman, he knows that the world is there. So, he knows that when he sees the world, he knows that Brahman is behind the world. And he knows that in reality, it is in Brahman that the world exists. So, when he sees world, the world is sustained in Brahman. And it is in Brahman that the world is sustained. So, when he sees the world, when you see the world, you go back to Brahman and you know that it is in Brahman that the world is there. So, from Jagan Mithya, you go to Brahma Satyam. When you reach Brahma Satyam, you know that Brahman is a reality in which the world is there, or world is seen, world appears. So, that is what is happens, which is Jivan Mukta. He is able to do karma, he is able to see Brahman in karma and do karma, and the very next moment he may be going into a state of inaction. So he may be acting in the world, he may be going into a state of reclusion. Yogaratova, Bogaratova, Sangaratova, Sangavihinaha. And it is perfectly seen in Mahatmas like Amma. One moment you can see Amma doing activities for tsunami, Katrina and other things, and the next moment you can see her go into deep samadhi. Can see that she is doing dhyanam. So she closes her eyes and she goes into dhyanam. In the very next moment, like when during bhajan, you can see that after bhajan, when harati is happening, Amma closes her eyes, she goes into the state of samadhi, into a state of inactivity. Very next moment, she opens her eyes and action in its peak happens. She gives darshan to crores of people. So that is the state that Shankara is telling here. When a person becomes a Jivan Mukta, he will have Anandam, he will have everything under his control, he will have this Samadhi under his control, that means he will be always in this Samadhi, and he will be able to do action. One moment he will go into action. And such a state, such a blissful state, controlled state, active state, going into action, action and inaction, shifting between action and inaction happens, Swayam, it happens, Bhavet Swayam, Sadhu Swayam Bhavet. He by himself goes into that state. He himself becomes a Jivan Mukta. He doesn't need an external controlling factor. He doesn't even need a guru. He just needs a guru to tell him that, okay, this is Samadhi. Shankara says, this is Samadhi and you follow it. That's what a guru is meant for. Rest, he does it. He gains Paroksha Jnanam. So we know that now that in 124th Shloka, Shankara speaks about Samadhi. We practice it ourselves and we will gain Aparoksha Jnanam. We don't need any other person. So Sadhu Samabhyaset. Sadhu has to practice, and when he practices, Bhavet Swayam. He himself becomes the same. So it is the same statement that Yoga Vasishtha says in a beautiful story where Mahabali calls upon his guru Shukracharya and questions about the reality of the world. And to Bali, Mahabali, Shukracharya replies. Shukracharya beautifully says that Chid iha astihi chin matram idam chinmayam eva cha. Chid iha astihi, here chit alone is there. Chin matram, chit alone is there. So chit iha astihi, chit exists here surely. If you have doubt that Chit exists, okay, Chit exists, Brahman exists, but what about the world? What about Jada Vastus? Chin Matram, Chit alone exists. Jagat is Mithya. Karma, if we speak about Karma, Karta, okay, I am doing this action, he is doing that action, he is there, I am there, duality, it is Mithya. Chin Matram, Chit alone is there. Okay, if Chit alone is there, then what is this world? Idam Chinmayam Eva Cha. This world is Chinmayam, it is filled with Chit. That is what the Narayana Suktam says, that Andar Bahishchatat Sarvam Vyapyat Narayana Stitaha. Narayana pervades the world in and out. So don't have any doubt that if you what duality that you see is pervaded in and out by Brahman, whether you know it, whether you accepted it or not. Idam chinmayam eva cha sarvam brahmamayam. So everything is Brahman, this world is filled with Brahman. Okay Guru, that much is fine. Okay, here chit is there, chit alone is there, the world is chit. What about me and you? Chit tvam, you are chit. And chidaham, I am chit. Okay, to summarize it, what can I say? Chitvam chidaham ete cha lokaha chit. The entire world is chit. Okay, I told you chit alone is there, chit is there, chit alone is there, everything is filled with chit, you are chit, I am chit. Summarizing it, everything is chit, this entire world is chit. Iti sangraha, this is in short. In short, this is the truth. Okay, if that is the case, then what is bandham and mukti? I find myself in bondage. So what is bondage and what is liberation if everything is Brahman? So chit chetya kalita bandha, chit chetya kalita bandha, chit chetya kalita, chetyam means thought. So chit chetya kalita, chit when associated with thoughts, bandha, that is bandham. Tan mukta mukti ruchyate, when chit is devoid of thought, that is mukti. That means when I have other thoughts. So chit without thought, that means okay, can chit be without thoughts? Chit, can I be without thoughts? If we are in the world, we cannot be without thoughts. That means split chit from thoughts. That means always have the thought of chit. So internally in your mind, convert all thoughts into Brahman. So drishtim jnanamayim krutva pashyet brahmamayam jagat. Internally in the mind, everything is seen as Brahman. The world cannot be seen as Brahman. The world is dual. Namarupam will be there. You cannot see Brahman everywhere. If you have to see Brahman everywhere, then either you will have to wear the specs of Brahman or you will have to try to make every object Brahman. That is impossible. That means what would you do? You go out on a sunny day. You don't want sunlight to fall on you. What will you do? You will just wear a sunglass. If you have to see everything as yellow, you will wear a yellow glass. So you have to wear the glass of Brahman, and that is not for the external eye, it's for the mind. So see everything. So chit without thought means either you completely or annihilate thoughts or convert all thoughts into the thought of chit. Convert all thoughts to Brahman. So internally in the mind, everything is Brahman. So I am chatting now. I'll have my food. I'll chat with another friend. I'll talk about work. I'll go for a movie. Whatever I do externally, it doesn't matter. Internally, I'll see everything as Brahman. That is chit achetya, chit without any thoughts. That means thoughts are there, but all those thoughts get converted into Brahman. If thoughts are converted into Brahman, it is as good as thoughts are not there because everything is Brahman. That means you are focused on Brahman. So chit with thoughts is bondage, chit without thoughts is Brahman. Chit with duality is bondage, chit without duality is moksha. Chit without knowledge is bandham, chit with knowledge is moksha. If that is the case, okay, you have explained chit. What is just chit? Is it the same as atman? So chit achetya kila atmeti. Chit achetya kila atma iti. So chit achetya, chit without thoughts. Okay, you don't need to have doubts that okay, you are telling that chit without thoughts is moksha. But Shastra speaks about Atman as one's own nature, and being the Atman is moksha. Atmanyanam is moksha. So is it different? Chit achetya kila atma, chit without thoughts is atma. Iti sarva vedanta sangraha. This is the essence of all Upanishads. And let's say you understand this. You understand this much, then you will realize soon. If you don't understand basmani huyate, then you won't understand anything. It is like pouring things over basma. Basmani huyate. You have ashes and you try to lit fire or do anything on the ashes. It is nothing will happen. You pour ghee on the ash, there will be no fire because fire has completely burnt. So that means, if you can understand with this small or two shlokas, you will realize. If you cannot understand, then nothing can help you. And so what should I do? Oh Guru, you are telling me this. If I know this, I'll realize. Then what should I do? You don't need to do anything. Evam vilokeya dhiye dhaya. So having this in the mind, knowing this in the mind, keep this knowledge in your mind and do all activity as usual. Swayameva atmanatmanam anantapadam apyasi. Swayameva with yourself, without any other effort. Atmana atmanam, by yourself atmanam anantapadam apyasi. You will attain the anantapadam, the infinite state of the Atman. So just following this, you will realize your own nature. You don't need any other effort. So that's what Shankara says here, bhavet swayam. If a sadhu practices this samadhi always, then swayam bhavet, he will realize himself. So that is what Shankara says. It's the same as what Krishna also says, nahi jnanena sadrishyam pavitram iha vidyate tat swayam. I forgot the shloka. So nahi jnanena sadrishyam pavitram iha vidyate tat swayam yoga sansiddha kalena atmani vindati. So Krishna speaks about, in the fourth chapter, he speaks about the glory of knowledge. Knowledge is nothing but following this samadhi. So nahi jnanena sadrisham, nahi jnan, not there, jnanena sadrisham, like knowledge, what? Pavitram iha vidyate. Here there is nothing more sacred, more pavitram than jnanam. Oh, is Ganges not more pavitram? Is chanting Rudra not more pavitram? Is doing Sandhya Vandanam not more pavitram? Those are all foolish people who consider all those as pavitram. Nahi jnanena sadrisham pavitram iha vidyate. It's not my statement, it is what Krishna says in the fourth chapter. There is nothing more sacred than knowledge. Oh, why is that? Why do you say so? Why is not some doing Sandhya Vandanam more sacred? Why is not like Vishnu Sahasranama more sacred? Why is it not going to Kashi not more sacred? Or taking a bath in Ganges not more sacred? Because tat swayam jnanaha swayam yoga samsiddhaha. For a person who has jnanam and yoga samsiddhaha, who does yoga. Yoga means samabhavana. With samabhavana, he does actions. So yoga is samasiddhya siddhyoho samobhutva samatvam yoga ucchyate. In Krishna's language, yoga is not Patanjali's yoga shastra, but beings have maintaining equanimity and doing all actions. So internally knowing everything to be Brahman and externally doing actions is yoga. So having knowledge and doing yoga means having the knowledge that everything is Brahman, and because of that maintaining equanimity in your mind, internally asserting everything to be Brahman, therefore maintaining equanimity, not having any raga dvesham, and doing action. If a person does that swayam, by himself, kalena atmani vindati, kalena, in due course of time, in due time, atmani vindati, he realizes the self. So a person who follows jnanam, for him he doesn't need any other external influence. In due time he'll realize. So as time passes, the more and more he does that, he'll realize. So that is what Shankara also says here. So he is resonating the view of Krishna when he is saying that follow this samadhi of internally having Brahman and externally doing whatever you want. Do whatever you want, internally assert everything to be Brahman. That is samadhi. So internally having the thought of Brahman alone, converting all thoughts into Brahman while externally doing all actions. And when a person does this always, he gains anandam, he gains vashya, he becomes vashya, he gains everything into control, and in a moment he will be able to shift between action and inaction. So a moment he will be doing action, another moment he will be the inactive Brahman. And this will happen swayam bhavet. It will automatically happen if a person does samadhi. So that is also the That's the reason why Krishna says pavitram nahi jnanena sadrisham pavitram iha vidyati. Na jnanena sadrisham pavitram iha vidyati. Here there is nothing more sacred than jnanam. He surely there is nothing more sacred than jnanam, because jnanam itself will give. If you do sandhya vandanam, you have to do, then you will have to wait for the goddess Gayatri Devi to bestow something upon you. If you chant Vishnu Sahasranama, you will have to wait for Vishnu to give you something. But here, you don't need anything. You don't need any particular activity as well. You don't have to do any particular activity. Get up in the morning, wear your sacred thread and do this puja, do that puja. Don't have to do anything. You can do anything. There is no limitation externally. There is only one limitation, which is internally asserting everything to be Brahman. And so internally having Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya, that alone is there. So karma is mithya. So whatever you do, it doesn't matter. Internally having the thought of Brahman, always having the thought of Brahman in your mind, that in itself will give you moksha. It take you to a state of Jivan Mukti or Aparoksha Anubhavam. So that is the samadhi, is the ultimate practice that a person has to do, should do, that will give us a Aparoksha Anubhavam. We'll continue in the next day. Hari Om.